Later today, we're going to take a look at new surveillance technology in New York. It's just amazing. But first, we want to spend a few minutes on drones, which have been used for surveillance, but that role is expanding. In fact, it's estimated that the drone industry could create 70,000 jobs and generate $13 billion in the next 10 years. Rising to meet that demand, American colleges and universities. Nearly 100 schools have applied for permission from the FAA to operate drones. Some are up and running. Virginia Tech has 6 drone helicopters used by the engineering faculty and students on the ground. They call them UASs. This is unmanned aerial systems because of the negative aspect drones have taken on, but they are drones. Two people at the forefront of the collegiate drone revolution, Ken Polovitz, he's assistant dean at the University of North Dakota's John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences, and Zachary Waller, now a grad student. His undergrad degree was in unmanned aircraft systems operations. And Zach, I want to start with you. You grew up wanting to be an airline pilot, then became interested in drones. But you were one of the first students in the program at North Dakota in 2009 when there weren't even books?
Really, a lot of it is self-taught and also technical manuals, things that have been written in Army or Navy curriculum. So really, it was kind of pieced together. There are a couple books out there now, though, and towards the end of the degree, textbook companies did start pumping those out. So, but the first couple classes were largely self-taught or learning from stories from those in the industry who have been doing it.
Well, Ken, help us out here. Again, Assistant Dean at the University of North Dakota's John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences. Lest we leave the impression of students running around the campus with drones, sort of teaching themselves how to use them. These are not weaponized. And what was the thinking? I mean, how did you start to organize this major there?
Yeah, very good question. There's a joke around the office is that 5-6 years ago, we couldn't spell UAS. And now we have a full-fledged academic program in it, along with research and so forth. It, obviously, it spun out of our aviation program. There's a heavy flight component to it. The students that, like Zach, that actually graduate with this major, receive their commercial pilot certificate with an instrument multi-engine rating. So they're actual pilots. We've been teaching aviation at the University of North Dakota since 1968, so we knew that this was going to be something that's going to be rapidly unfolding.
Well, tell us more about that. What told you that? We're hearing of so many colleges wanting to prepare themselves for these jobs of the future. Why did you think this was going to be such a big deal? What jobs are you thinking of?
You know, we have a very close tie to industry across the board, whether it's, you know, certainly commercial aviation, general aviation, military, otherwise. As the unmanned aircraft systems platforms, the aircraft were starting to be developed, primarily for the military, several players from the military and certainly academia started to get together when we knew this was going to be coming.
Well, it's interesting because you then are responding to, again, maybe military in your area, but we understand Cornell University has applied for a permit to use a university-built unmanned aerial vehicle to collect atmosphere and weather data, to track airborne spores in a study about combating potato blight. The University of Florida is using it for aquatic research. So it seems as if different schools are seeing different ways drones, these unmanned surveillance vehicles, might be used.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just now unraveling, so to speak, on all the certainly commercial uses that will be available. As we all know, primarily today, you know, obviously the military is used at law enforcement, border protection, but as soon as the airspace is integrated with the commercial airspace, and the FAA and several partners are working on all that, but once that airspace is settled and integrated, then you're going to see an even more explosion of commercial uses of these aircraft.
Well, a couple questions, because maybe, on the other hand, you have states that are pushing to restrict the use of drones. 37 states have introduced legislation to limit the use of drones. Florida passed a bill that will require police to get a warrant before they use drone surveillance. Idaho and Tennessee recently passed laws like that. Virginia passed a law declaring a 2-year moratorium on their use. There are a lot of questions. Charlottesville banned the use of law enforcement drones in city airspace. People are pushing back on that expectation that everyone's going to be using drones in a couple of years.
And that's a good point. But the airspace in this country is actually regulated by, you know, the FAA. Most of the legislation that's coming out of the states is primarily centered around privacy. And those issues are still going to be, you know, they're still out there. They're unresolved at this point. Despite that, when the airspace is integrated with commercial and general aviation, the privacy issues won't be as upfront, in my opinion, as all the commercial uses for the aircraft. And, you know, the farmers are going to be using them extensively, wildlife surveillance and things like that. They're not going to be solely spying on people. In fact, that'll be just a small part of the commercialization of unmanned aircraft systems.
Well, Zach, as you know, it may be that it'll turn out to be a small part, but people worry about that. When you were in school doing this, and again, you're in a school where, I mean, I guess Grand Forks has become the hotbed of drone studies, but were there students worried, as they have been at other schools? I'm reading in USA Today about the editor-in-chief of a blog, Campus Reform, who says kids that are just finding out that their fellow students are studying what he calls spy machines are upset to find out that these drones are flying around their classrooms and their campus. Did you ever hear anything like that?
You know, I've never had any kind of reactions like that. I think a lot of my classmates and cohorts, you know, might like to tease me that I'm going into spy technology, but they don't mean it, and it's all in good humor. Those concerns that people have that, you know, we're being trained to spy on people, that's really something that we as an industry and certainly as the folks educating future students to go into this industry, it's something that we should throw out, I guess, along with the term drone, I think, because this technology has so much more to offer than merely surveillance or reconnaissance on citizenry.
Well, and what is the work that you're doing now?
I'm doing research comparing the personality of UAS pilots to other pilots, to fighter pilots, bomber pilots, or airlift tanker pilots. You know, what we've been finding in general, and as I've done my literature review, is that pilots in general are more extroverted than the normalized population. They're much higher on conscientiousness. I would suspect that UAS pilots will closely mirror the rest of pilots compared to the general population, but what I'd really like to dig into is some personality differences that differentiate UAS pilots from those other platforms that I mentioned.
That's Zach Waller. He majored in drone operation at the University of North Dakota. He says flying a drone from the ground gives him the same feeling of satisfaction he gets flying in the air. We're going to hear more. Ken Paulowitz is the assistant dean at North Dakota. We'd love to hear from you as well. Is this a sensible step toward new technology? Some college students have protested drone studies on their campuses, but we'd love your thoughts at hereandnow.org. Back in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look at drones. We're talking with Ken Paulowitz, the assistant dean at the University of North Dakota's John D. Odegaard School of Aerospace Sciences, one of the first universities in the country to offer a major in drone operations. Also with us, one of his former students, Zachary Waller. He graduated from the school with a major in unmanned aircraft systems operations. He's now a grad student doing research. And before the break, Zach told us that he thinks the industry should throw out the word drone to move away from this idea that he's being taught how to spy on people. And people who work with this technology now call them unmanned aircraft systems, or UASs, to do just that, change the language. But that hasn't stopped pushback from the student body at some universities. At Virginia Commonwealth University, students launched a Facebook petition to stop drone research there. They say, "We know that drones are also used as weapon killers abroad." Ken, what do you say about this kind of protest?
Yeah, if I could add, Robin, that primarily today the primary uses of unmanned aircraft systems is for military or law enforcement, border protection, and so forth. And so that's what everyone's aware of. That's what they see and hear through the media. We're obviously interested in pursuing all the commercial applications that will not be even remotely attempting to or interested in spying on people and so forth.
And you're looking to get a piece of the future market, maybe develop some of those things that haven't been thought of yet, as well as get your students into those jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we're not really on the technical side. Our program is designed for future operators, pilots, operations specialists, and so forth. It's not necessarily gearing toward the military or one segment of this emergent industry. It's to give someone that broad foundation.
Well, we know University of Nebraska-Lincoln and the University of Missouri are already using drones to teach new prospective journalists new reporting techniques. A lot of talk about using it in farming. How would you use it in farming?
That's where the biggest commercial use of unmanned aircraft systems is going to happen across the world, but certainly in this country. If you have any blight in your field, you could certainly fly a small device over and look at that. Certainly spraying and accuracy and getting the most efficient use, and even checking to see if the middle of the field is ready for harvesting as opposed to, you know, the edge of the field and so forth. So, and they're even going as far as saying maybe down the road you'll have robotics, ground-based unmanned systems for harvesting. That the technology is emerging so rapidly, everyone's trying to catch up to it.
Well, I want to ask Zachary what it's like. I mean, Zach Waller, again, when you first started studying them, we don't even know what to picture. Are we picturing little robot-y type creatures or huge helicopters?
You're still looking at a regular old classroom with an older gentleman up front talking to a bunch of students. And really what they're trying to do is imbue us with, as Ken said, that broad-based foundation to go forward. You're not looking so much at small robots or a bunch of kids learning to program them to do things. What the university here is trying to do is bridge the gap between the engineers that design them and the pilots that need to fly them. Our background is closely tailored to the major in commercial aviation, and so we come into this major knowing about the national airspace system, knowing about its regulations, and that's the really valuable thing that our students are bringing to the industry, is that added awareness of the larger system that these aircraft are going to need to operate in.
For those trying to picture this and how it feels, maybe we've known how to remotely fly an airplane or a boat out on a pond. What does it feel like?
You know that you're not receiving sensory input from the aircraft moving. You can't feel it turn, yaw, pitch, roll. You're not feeling a change of acceleration on your body, but your brain is still very much in that aircraft, and that's just the way we're programmed as pilots. If things go wrong in that aircraft, your heart will start pounding, your palms will get sweaty. The stress is very real, regardless of whether you're in the aircraft or not, I think.
And Robin, there are so many things that are emerging, so many concepts or things to look at that are emerging. The psychology of flying something when you're not actually in the air, flying something remotely, crew coordination. For example, the Fargo Air Guard has been realigned for a UAS mission. So as we speak, no doubt they're flying missions in hostile areas, Afghanistan or others, and they're in Fargo, North Dakota. The officers there may have to launch a missile into suspected terrorists or whatever and have casualties and so forth. But that person that after engaging in that mission, you know, maybe their shift is off at 5 o'clock and they go to their kid's soccer game and go to supper and the family may ask, well, what did you do today, Dad? And so the contrast of being in a military, in a war situation like that, 1 minute, and then the next minute sitting home with your family having dinner.
Well, in fact, a study from the Defense Department showed that those drone operators sitting in one place with the results of their work in a combat zone suffer the same kind of stress that pilots who are physically there do. So is that something that you have to address in your coursework?
Well, I think it is touched on, but my purpose for going through that was just to there are so many things coming out of this new technology, and that's just one example. It's unraveling so quickly.
Thank you both for speaking to us about it.
Well, thanks for having us, Robin.
That was Ken Paulovitz, Assistant Dean at the University of North Dakota's John D. Ordegard School of Aerospace Sciences. Zach Waller graduated in May of last year from the program with a major in unmanned aircraft systems operations. He's now doing grad research on the personality of drone operators. Again, your thoughts, especially if you're taking college courses on drones, what is it you hope to do with them? Let us know, hereandnow.org, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio, and you can always tweet me, @hereandnowrobin. We'd love to hear from you. Still to come, incredible surveillance technology in New York. But the latest news is next, here and now.